What do we want for our children? What do we want to pass on to them? Our child, any child. They say roots and wings. Give your children roots and wings. Put the values in them. Give their thinking a solid grounding in the gathered wisdom of the generations. Instill, is that a word you can use these days? Instill the standards and insights that you believe are truly creative. Set the boundaries of good behaviour. Badly trained children are like badly trained dogs, a nuisance to others, pushed away when they could be welcomed. We don't want our children to be anything other than a pleasure to be with. I asked an old friend how it had been having the family for Christmas. He bemoaned the lack of boundaries, little children and liberal parents. Roots and wings, they say. Give them wings, and that's about the fact that we want them to have opportunities, lots of opportunities. Which is just a little bit of an irony, given that 3/4 of the children in the world have barely any opportunities. But where we can, we want to offer our children opportunities to learn, to find their skills, to explore the world, to embrace knowledge, to test themselves, to develop their talent, to understand how great it is to know stuff, to try interesting experiences, and have the chance to see the wonders of the world. Feel the thrills that can be enjoyed in relative safety, to use their wings to fly. Of course, we want them to be safe, but not cosseted. Life can have stumbles and bumps and scrapes and green shoot fractures when you fall off your swing. We know we can't be overprotective, but we do want them to be safe, to know where the dangers lie, and not to be stupid or overly bold, reckless. We try to teach them that and to encourage them to recognise that there are standards of conduct, morality, honesty, ways of working that are not sloppy or lazy or the least you can do and get away with it. Standards to set yourself, standards others will expect of us. And ways to cope when disappointment comes because the standard is set too high for you or you just didn't give your best with consequences that follow. We also want to give our children the assurance that our love is a safe place, a sure place, an unwavering reality in their life, to give them the assurance that the door is always open and the light is on. If we can communicate a love of beauty, demonstrate the infectious joy of a warm, hospitable heart, if we can give them permission to be passionate, to understand that life is for living and the sofa is for sitting on, not for hiding behind. And somewhere in the middle of all that, we want for our children, for all children, that they have a sense of responsibility, an understanding that rights mean duties. And therefore, it's not all about me. There are important things like politeness and appreciation, gratitude and thanks, respect for other people. And in there somewhere, we understand the need to encourage a sound work ethic, so that they don't fall into the rather ugly mindset of entitlement, that somehow the world and everyone in it should revolve around me and my wants. Of course, what we most want, what we want most of all for our children, all children, any children, is happiness. Happiness, that precious, sometimes elusive dimension of our human experience that seems to be more of a byproduct than an end in itself. Well, that is a truth somewhat hard to convey or even live out ourselves. I was always impressed when my former boss at St. Cuthbert's Church in Edinburgh used to preface every baptism with these words. If children live with criticism, they will learn to condemn. If children live with hostility, they learn to fight. If children live with ridicule, they learn to be shy. If children live with shame, they learn to feel guilty. If children live with encouragement, they learn confidence. If children live with tolerance, they learn to be patient. If children live with praise, they learn to appreciate. If children live with acceptance, they learn to love. If children live with approval, they learn to like themselves. If children live with honesty, they learn truthfulness. If children live with security, they learn to have faith in themselves and in others. If children live with friendliness, they learn the world is a nice place in which to live. My boss, St. Cuthbert's, was a bachelor all his life. How did he know these things? Turns out it's a poem by Dorothy Law, though still a useful tool. But listen, good enough though all that stuff is, good enough though it is, it's not enough. None of the idealism expressed above is enough. Comes close to the Christian understanding of who we are, what we need, what aspirations we should have for our children, all the children. We need to encourage them to understand and explore the deep things. There are deep things. They need to know there are spiritual realities in, with and under all the ways we are and all the things we do. And if they miss out on those realities, they miss out on life, depth. We need to teach them that faith is a beautiful, life-enhancing fact of life that you don't need to be embarrassed about or apologise for. Faith is a way of looking at reality, experiencing reality, living real life in the real world, but with a new perspective, big picture thinking, bringing that into our everyday experience. And it's the choice, it's the reality of countless millions of people. And we need to teach our children to avoid the arrogance that patronises the men or women of faith, or which assumes the little knowledge we think we have gives us permission to disrespect wise, good, brilliant men and women who choose the road of faith and live it, who chose the road of faith and lived it. We need to give our children such a vision of their status as children of God, known, named and loved by their Heavenly Father, and called by him to serve their neighbour, to treat each person we meet with the dignity and grace due to a child of God. Child of God, this is who you are. Be all the other things, experience all the dreams, all the opportunities, but don't forget, instead rejoice in the fact that you are loved by God, who went to hell and back, so that you could call him Abba, Father. That's what we want for our children, all children. And all we thought we wanted from them was that they would sleep all through the night. A visit to Malawi is a wonderful, humbling experience. The Malawi experience, they have so little, yet there is a warmth and a smile in their heart. So many doors are closed to them, economic, educational, travel. Yet their hearts are wide, their smile genuine, and their table just is made bigger when the stranger comes by. How do they do it? Well, they have the big picture vision of who they are, where they and their children stand, what their status is, their worth and their dignity. They may be poor, they may be struggling, but no one can take from them who they are, who call God Abba, Father. What they are worth, their real name, is written in heaven. That self-understanding is transformational. And that's really all we want to tell people. This is how absolutely amazing you are. This is how loved you are. This is the image in which you were made. This is the rock from which you are hewn. Come and sing along about that with us. Come and celebrate that miracle with us around the Lord's table. It's a pretty good story to tell. Of course, you know, we all know, we can do all those things. Teach our children all those things. Offer a true example of grace-filled Christian living. We can be consistent, kind, endless in our loving. We can pray for them every day and every night, and they may choose different. They may express their right to say, no thank you. Not for me. Our children do not come to us with guarantees. And the pain and sorrow of that lies deep in our heart. This faith that means so much to us, has made us who we are, just doesn't seem to have taken for them. And this thing we long to share with them, how we would sing with them around us, how we would work together, how we would wound, how we would feel the deep truths blessing us together. And they seem to have managed without it, have decided to manage without it. And that's a sore one. We feel each other's pain. The very freedom we taught them to express is the very freedom that allows them to choose different. No matter how much love, no matter how many prayers, no matter how many doors are open and lights are on, they choose. This is what makes them beautiful, precious, wonderful, human, able to break our hearts. What to do? What to do? What does God do about his children who take different roads? He keeps loving. He keeps waiting. He does not give up. He does not give up. See the Father watching the horizon every day, until one day he sees the silhouette against the skyline. And hitching up his robe, he runs, cloak billowing, to throw his arms around the Son, who was lost but is found. Amen.